Look.
Thank you. Well, it's certainly a privilege to be able to gather again this evening under the pavilion. We thank God for His mercy and His grace. I was thinking about what Brother Charles said there, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8 that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. More. Have you ever meditated on that thought? What is more than a conqueror? A conqueror is someone that's won every battle. He's won every trial. He's never been defeated. And that's a conqueror. And we're more than that. Somebody said, well, that's impossible. Well, we ourselves are not even conquerors. The Lord Jesus was the conqueror, and we're more than conquerors. Somebody said, how can you be more than a conqueror? More than a conqueror is somebody who gets to enjoy the victory without having to fight the battle. And we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's wonderful truth. If that ever gets a hold of you, we may have trouble holding you down. It's somebody that gets to enjoy the benefits of being victorious without having to fight the battle. We're more than conquerors. Bless the Lord for that. Let's open our Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 19, please. John chapter 19, you will know, and Bible students know, that John is presenting or portraying the Lord as the Son of God. And we find in chapter number 19 that he here is talking about the trial, the scourgings, the releasing of Barabbas, and the crucifixion of the Lord. John basically says less about the crucifixion than any of the other gospel accounts. He gives us less detail. Matter of fact, he gives less about the scourgings and the bruisings and the trials. He gives less detail than the other writers. But he gives more detail about those that were around and involved in the crucifixion. Matter of fact, you'll find in this text that we read tonight some of his own followers that none of the other writers mention that are affiliated around the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, in verse number 25, the Bible said, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Notice, if you will, again, the reading in the first part of verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus. I want to preach tonight for a few moments on Jesus, keep me near the cross. Let's ask God to help us. Father, thank you for the preciousness of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for grace and goodness. Thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you for the privilege of being in the family of God. Thank you for the privilege of being in the field of labor and then for the privilege of being with this fellowship of believers. We thank you, Lord, tonight for what our ears have heard. We ask now that your will would be done. Deal in the hearts of those that hear that are unsaved. And we pray that you would help us to bring honor and glory to your name. And for whatever is accomplished tonight, you will get all glory for it. For it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, we understand and we all know, Bible students know, that in the beginning of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, there was no one that would stand with him. Matter of fact, Jesus himself had prophesied to the disciples in the upper room that all of them would forsake him. And they did. They were scattered. And they forsook the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Mark chapter number 15 and in verse number 40, it said, "And there were also women looking on afar off." And some of those women, it says, was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, and then Salome. It tells us there that these women were standing afar off. That was in the beginning of the crucifixion hours. But somewhere during that crucifixion, there was five individuals that resorted to the cross. In other words, they left the far off position and they came near the cross. Because the Bible said, now there stood by the cross of Jesus. I'm glad that there were some that says, regardless of what the world thinks about him, we are going to be identified with him. Don't we need that same thing today? When the world is saying, no one wants him, I want the world to know, as our sister testified, he's my Savior, amen. And I belong to him, and he belongs to me. What a wonderful thing that is. But you see, there was those that drew close to him. Now, let me say that there were many others that were present somewhere in the vicinity of the cross that the Lord Jesus had helped. I believe there were multitudes, maybe, that he had touched, maybe that he had healed, were standing in a far off position. But thank God for these five that made their way down to the cross. You know, as you go through the Word of God, you'll find many that were afar off. But oh, there's many of the people of God today that are afar off. But oh, how the world needs to see us identified with him and who he is in this hour. Amen. As I was studying this, I thought about one of the wonderful reasons why we need to stay close to the cross is that these five that are mentioned in our text, these five, the Lord Jesus showed up to every one of them on Resurrection Sunday. If you will run reference, you will find that he showed up. Matter of fact, Mary Magdalene was the first one that he showed up to. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that if you'll stay by the cross through the week, he'll show up to you on the Lord's Day. I believe that. Amen. If we would be identified with him, I believe that through the week, I believe our church services would be filled more with the presence of God when we met together. Amen. Now, I want us to look at this tonight. And as we notice this, what I want to do very briefly for each one, I about preached myself out last night. So you'll just have to bear with me tonight. But I want to look at these five, and I want to look at a little bit of their personality and look at them and see why that it would benefit us as we take note of these. Of staying close to the cross, are being identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say first of all tonight, and we'll not look at these in chronological order, but we'll notice verse number 25. The Bible says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, and then the last name in that verse is Mary Magdalene. There stood by the cross of Jesus, Mary Magdalene. Now what's she doing there? You see, most of the time, if there was someone that would get close to the cross, it would be because it would be family or some kind of relative. Matter of fact, when you look at these others, you'll find John there. You'll find the mother of Jesus. And then you'll find Salome, which was John's mother. And we understand why they would be there. They were there to support Miss Mary, the mother of Jesus, when her son was being crucified. But what's Mary Magdalene doing there? What's she doing there? I want to say to you, first of all, Lord, keep me near the cross, because it becomes a place of remembrance. Hallelujah. You say, what's she doing there? There's only one reason I can find that she's there. It's because of what he had done for her. Can I tell you, friend, when you get to drifting from him, when you start feeling cold in your heart, you'll understand and you'll find yourself not remembering where you were and who you were. I'm telling you, I should have been in hell, but I'm not tonight, and I'm not going, because he saved me by his wonderful grace. When I find myself getting cold and indifferent, I find that I begin thinking that I'm maybe halfway decent person. And I think that because the flesh is telling me that. But oh, when I'm close to him, Brother Tim, when I get close to him, I realize I ain't nothing. I realize I should be in hell. None of us here should be sitting where we are tonight. There's not a one of us deserves it. We could go down this aisle and back up this one, and we could make our way through the congregation, and there's no telling who all is in this place tonight. There's no telling what we were. There's no telling what you were. If you knew what I was before I saved, you wouldn't want to hear me preach, and I might not want to preach to you if I knew what you were. But we're not what we were. Hallelujah. We're saved by the grace of God. The blood of the Lord Jesus has cleansed us and saved us and made a new person out of us. That's what I love about being born again. I was born May the 29th, 1953. I know you didn't know I was that old, but I am. I promise you I know it. But I was born. When I was birthed, there wasn't one thing recorded about me. In other words, when I was born, I had no past. Now hang with me right here. When I was born, I had no past. But I was 27 years old before I got saved. I was 27, and Lord, what a mess I'd made out of my life. What a past that I had. But you know what the new birth did? I was born again, and it done away in my past. Hey, I'm glad tonight
Some of you can't enjoy the Lord now because the devil beat you up with what you were before you were saved. But let me tell you, you are not what you were. You're a new creature. You're saved by the grace of God. Your past is gone. Your sins have been forgiven. You ought to shout a little bit on that. Amen. I'm glad the blood of Jesus did away with all sin. Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary was a magnet for sin. He was made sin for us. You know, in the Old Testament, it tells us that the blood of bulls and goats would do away with sin and would, for a little while, it would put it in the depths of the sea, or it would put it as far as the east is from the west, or it would put it behind his back, or it would be blotted out as a thick cloud. But the Bible tells in Hebrews that the blood of bulls and goats can't do away with sin. In other words, they were still in the depths of the sea. They were still blotted out as a thick cloud. But John Baptist, having a baptismal service down on the river of Jordan one day, looked at the banks of Jordan River and said, "Behold," in other words, "don't look at me anymore. Look coming yonder. Behold, the Lamb of God that does what? Which taketh away the sin of the world." I'm glad on the cross all the sins in the depths of the sea, those that was as far as the east is from the west, those that was blotted out as a thick cloud, those that was put in a bag, I'm glad that he gathered all of them and brought them on himself and paid the sin debt for those sins, for our sins. We are saved tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Saved by the marvelous grace of God. Mary Magdalene, the reason she's there is that she's reminded of the price of her being set free. As she sees him hanging there, you remember in Luke chapter 8, the Bible talks about that Jesus cast the demons out of Mary Magdalene, cast seven demons out of Mary Magdalene. You know, Mary Magdalene did not want to be invested with those demons. Maybe she had tried numerous ways to be set free, and no one or nothing was able to do that. But oh, one day Jesus came by, and Jesus set her free. And that seven demons just simply means she was completely full. She was completely controlled by the devil. It ain't no wonder she was by the cross. It's no wonder she was the first one to show up on resurrection morning and want to see him. It was a place of remembrance. She knows what he has done for her. She knows where she was and where he has set her free. It's a place of remembrance. Are you listening to me? If you'll stay close to him, you'll never forget where you were. I don't believe that you can ever be what you need to be in the future if you forget where you were and who you were in the past. Somebody said, "I'm trying to forget." Don't forget. If you ever forget, you'll quit being thankful. Oh, thanks be unto God for his great grace that wherewith he has saved us. Aren't you glad for that? Jesus was the only one that could set her free. And you know, he'll show up. He'll show up to us whenever we stay by the cross. I thought about this. Mary Magdalene, you remember Peter and John in John chapter 20 ran to the tomb after Mary had come and told them, "He's not here." they've taken him away. He's not here. And Peter and John run to the tomb. Peter and John go in, and then they leave. The Bible said in verse 11 of John 20 that Mary stays. Mary Magdalene stays, and she's looking in. And she looked in, and she sees two angels, one at the head and one at the foot of where the Lord Jesus had laid. Oh, now, why didn't John and Peter see those angels? You know, sometimes, you see, Mary Magdalene's heart was heavy and broken. And God dispatched heavenly messengers just on her behalf. I promise you, if Simon Peter had seen them angels in there, he'd have said something about them. That's just who he was. He would have told us about those angels in the tomb, but he didn't see them. But they was in there for Mary. Oh, aren't you glad that when your heart is heavy and your heart is heavy laden and broken, the Lord can send a messenger from heaven just for you. I was studying that one day, and I saw those two angelic beings. The Holy Ghost run my mind back over there to the Old Testament tabernacle. And in that holy place was a mercy seat over the Ark of the Covenant. And on that mercy seat was what? Two angelic beings, one on either end. And God told Moses, I'll meet with you between the wings of the cherub. And the wings of the cherub lacked about an eighth of an inch touching. And there in the Old Testament is the way God came to man, between the wings of the cherub. But I'm glad in the New Testament, Mary Magdalene looked in there, and there's two angelic beings over where the body of the Lord had lain. There's still those grave clothes there. And that's the way man gets back to God, is through the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that we're saved tonight. Amen. So it's a place of remembrance. Then I want you to look with me. Notice, if you will, in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus. And then in the middle of the verse it said, his mother's sister. Now I've read some commentators that says that the next sentence identifies his mother's sister, which was Mary, the wife of Cleophas. But I don't agree with that. You see, Jesus' mother's name was Mary. Why in the world would a mama name two daughters Mary? This sister of the Lord's mother was James and John's mother, Salome. That's who's there. Now, it could be, we can understand why she's there. We find that she's there to support her cousin, Mary. She's there. She's there to offer support. But I don't really know why she's there, but I can tell you what she learned while she was there. Jesus, keep me near the cross, not only because it's a place of remembrance, but because it becomes a place of reality. If we'll stay close to the cross, there's some things that we'll understand. There's some things that we'll get. There's some reality that'll dawn on us that you wouldn't get any other time or any other place. What was it, preacher, that Mary or that Salome got? What is it that she's got? Well, we see that Salome was Mary's sister. She's there. And you remember, you don't have to turn. But in Matthew chapter 20, back in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the Bible said in verse number 20 of chapter 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, that's James and John, and Salome their mother, and desiring a certain thing of him. Now Salome comes to the Lord, and she comes with a request. Another one of the Gospels said that James and John put her up to asking for this. Now, what was it that she asked for? Notice verse 21, and he said unto her, Jesus said unto Salome, what wilt thou? In other words, Miss Salome, what is it that you want? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Now, I don't think it's wrong for a mother to desire a good place for their children. I don't think it's wrong to do that. But I think it's wrong to request what Salome is requesting here. And I'll mention why in just a moment. But Jesus answered and said unto her in verse number 22, ye know not what you ask. Miss Salome, you don't know what you're asking. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. But oh, they didn't have a clue. They was looking past the cross to the kingdom that'll be set up during the 1,000-year reign. Back then, they thought it was going to happen right then. But it ain't happened yet, but it's going to. Amen. But you know what Salome's asking? Jesus said, are they able to drink of this cup? And they said, we're able. You know what Miss Salome realizes as she's standing there by the cross of Jesus? You see, there's three hanging on crosses. Now get this. There's three that's hanging there. The perfect Son of God and two thieves that's crucified with him. You know, if Salome had got her request back there, you know who would be hanging with the Lord? Who would be drinking that cup? That would have been James and John, her two sons, hanging on both sides of the Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad that the Lord don't answer every prayer that we pray? Aren't you glad? Sometimes we pray amiss. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. She sure didn't know what she was asking. But I can tell you one thing. Staying by the cross of Jesus, she realized that there's no one that belongs on the same plane with him. Oh, you realize when you get by the cross that pride subsides and humility sets in when you're close to the cross. Is that right? You see, as she is seeing the Lord Jesus, I believe her mind goes back when she said, Lord, let my two boys sit on the right and the left. But when she's there at the cross, she's reminded there's no one that's on the same level with him. He's the superior one. Hey, it ain't wrong to want good things for your kids. But let me say something. Don't ever let anything take priority in their lives above the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we see it's a place of remembrance. We also see, that in Mary Magdalene. Now we see in Mary's sister Salome, it becomes a place of reality. But now notice, if you will, back in our text in John 19, 25, the Bible said, now there stood by the cross of Jesus Mary, the wife of Cleophas. Now, who in the world's this? What's she doing there? Well, let me say to you that her being by the cross brought the Lord to her rescue on Resurrection Day. And it becomes not only a place of remembrance and a place of reality, but becomes a place of restoration. You say, preacher, I don't understand. You remember in Luke 24, there's a couple that's a walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. We call them the Emmaus disciples. And they're leaving the place of worship in Jerusalem and they're going home. The Bible says in verse 18 of Luke chapter number 24, and the one of them, one of the disciples whose name was Cleophas. Now immediately we know that he wasn't one of the 12. We know that because Cleophas was not one of the chosen 12 of the Lord. But somebody said, well, one of the disciples is Cleophas. Who's the other? Well, I believe it's Mary, his wife. Because she's by the cross of Jesus. She's standing by the cross of Jesus. Somebody said, well, it's got to be two men. Where do you find that? You see, you didn't have to be a man to be a disciple, to be a follower of the Lord. You did to be an apostle, but not a disciple. And disciples just simply means they believed and were taught and followed the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I believe they were headed home. The Bible said they were talking about the things which had happened. I can see them now as they're discussing what has happened. The Bible said that Jesus drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And Jesus said unto them, why are you so sad as you walk? And they said, sir, where have you been? Don't you know what's took place in Jerusalem? How that the one who said was going to set us free, they crucified him. You see, the one they were complaining about is the one they were complaining to. Did you know when you're complaining, who you're complaining to? There, Jesus begins to let them talk. And as they're going on, finally they get down to their little house. They turn aside to go in. And Jesus made as though they would go further. But the Bible said they constrained him to come into the house. That means to lasso with words of begging. They still don't recognize who it is. They don't know who it is. And they beg it. They know there's something different about him. They beg him to come in. And they go in the house. And somebody had to fix a meal, so I'm pretty sure it was Mary. And they had meat and bread. And I can see Mary as she comes to the living room and says, Cleophas, would you and the dear gentleman come in? I got a little bite fixed. They go in and sit down at the table. And Cleophas probably said, sir, would you mind asking the blessing on this meal? And boy, when you get Jesus praying at the supper table, business is going to pick up. And I can see as Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And the Bible said he blessed it. And then he said he handed it to them. See, you can't break bread with him without realizing who it is. And they saw those nail wounds probably in his hand. And the Bible says in verse 36, and they was known of him in the breaking of bread. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he spake with us by the way? I'm trying to say to you tonight, if you'll stay by the cross and be identified with him, whenever you are walking away from the place of worship, he'll come looking for you. Oh, Jesus, keep me near the cross because I need you. I need you. It becomes a place of restoration. He made sure that he got to marry the wife of Cleophas before sun went down. Oh, hallelujah. Now notice, it not only becomes a place of remembrance, a place of reality, and a place of restoration, but it becomes a place of reward. The Bible said, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. I love this. See, Mary stayed by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's her son hanging there. And she stood by the cross of the Lord Jesus, and just being there, she got the remainder of her future on the earth taken care of. In other words, the Lord supplied her need just by being near the cross on crucifixion day. You know, we got a lot of families that are wanting the Lord to supply their needs, but they ain't interested in being close to Jesus. But Mary was there, and I know why she was there, but being there, see, I believe Joseph is already dead. He's not there. Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, is already gone. Mary has no one, and there she stands. Now watch this. She sees John. Let me go ahead and tie these two together. Let me just tie them together and I'll be done. It not only is it a place of reward for Mary, but it's a place of responsibility for John. If you'll get by the cross of the Lord Jesus, he'll give you something to do. And here, there stands John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And Jesus sees his mother. And he don't call her mother. He says, woman. He knows what's coming. He says, woman, behold thy son. It's not behold me. But look at John. Treat him like you've treated me. Behold thy son, because he said to the disciple whom he loved, behold thy mother. John, you treat her like she was your mother. Now I want you to get this and I'm done. Mary, the mother of Jesus, got all of her needs supplied for the rest of her days by just being by the cross. But John got him a job to do. Did you know that Mary had other children, half-brothers of Jesus, ancestors, but they didn't get the privilege of taking care of their own mother? John did. And I believe that's teaching us a lesson. Who is the greatest disciple among them? John. He's the one on writes to us on how to live victorious day by day in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He's the one that the Lord gave the revelation to. He's the one that gave us the gospel of John. Who was it that leaned his head on Jesus' bosom whenever one of them was gnawing their fingernails off up to the knuckles, wondering who it was going to betray him? John had his head laying on Jesus' bosom. Peter asked him, said, John, beckoned to him and said, you ask him. You know what John said? He said, Lord, who is it? He knew it wasn't him. He knew it wasn't him. Because you ain't going to deny him and betray him with your head laying on his bosom. In other words, what John said in our language is, Lord, which one of them is it? He knew it wasn't him. Oh, keep us close to him. It'll keep you from denying him. And here he is with his head laid on the bosom. If I'd have wanted, if I'd have pastored in that in those days, I'd have wanted John to come preach my meeting. I could have probably got Simon Peter, but he'd have had us all talking dirty by the end of the week. And that ministry still going real big today. Let me just identify something here. I am not and will not ever be yoked up with anybody that uses words from the pulpit that I used to get a whipping for when I was a boy. You say, preacher, that's a little arrogant. No, that's mean. And I mean that. Somebody said, I wonder what crowd he runs with. I don't run with no crowd. Well, let me go on. I could have probably got Simon Peter. I could have probably got Thomas. Thomas would have had us all doubting we're saved by the end of the week. And that ministry's going real big today. I might have been able to get Matthew, but he'd have come for the offering. And that ministry's going real big today. I would have wanted John. I believe John could have helped my people more than any of them. But I couldn't have got him. Why? Because he's on back street taking care of the Lord's mother. Have you noticed through the book of Acts? I'm about done. Have you noticed through the book of Acts? John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, mentioned 5 times. The disciple whom Jesus loved. When you enter the book of Acts, you find him in chapter 2 in the upper room. You find him in chapter 3 when he and Peter goes up to the temple to pray. You find him in chapter 4 when they're being beat. You find him in chapter 5, but he's only mentioned. And John fades completely off of the scene. Simon Peter, the Apostle Paul, Luke, Philip, Stephen. There's many personalities that's being used greatly in the early church work. But where's John? Where's the greatest disciple? Where's that disciple whom Jesus loved? Where's the one that laid his head on Jesus' bosom? Anybody seen him lately? No. He's back yonder on back street, taking care of the Lord's mother. See, it ain't the limelight that makes you great. It's being faithful to do what He's given you to do. Somebody said, why in the world would the Lord give the greatest disciple the job of mama sitting? Well, who else would you want to take care of your mama? See, we've got the wrong idea today about what ministry is and what being a servant is and what being a preacher is. John was the greatest. But we don't see him surface again until way over yonder in the last book of the Bible. And he surfaces again. And somebody said, I wonder if he was aggravated with the Lord for the Lord making him take care of his mama. No. How do you know? Because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And when you're aggravated over something, doing something that you don't want to do, you ain't in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind him the voice like the sound of a trumpet. Amen. He wasn't mad at the Lord. Let me say something right here. Tomorrow night's the last night and I'll be gone. You may never see me again. But let me say this right here. God has given you family. Listen to me, men of God. I got 2 girls. Both of them, I got one 39 years old. She's still home. I don't want her to go anywhere. She's bought me and paid for my last 7 vehicles. So I ain't looking for her no husband. Honest, she came in last week. I'd about wore a Ford car out, had so many miles on it. She brought one in. She said, "Dad, come out here and see if you can drive this vehicle." I went out there, and there said a brand new MKX Lincoln. She said, "You think you can drive that?" And I said, "Well, let me see if the seat will go back far enough." And I scooted the seat back, and I think I can drive this. She handed me the keys and the title. Said, "Wear it out." And I give God the glory for that. And I know what some of you preachers are doing hunting your kids right now. I know what you're doing. But she's done that for the last 15 years. And I've got 2 girls. My youngest daughter, let me just speak to you out of my heart and I'm done. My youngest daughter, she has 2 boys. Both of them are handicapped. One's down, the other's autistic. Please pray for my youngest grandson. His name's Sawyer. And he'll be 9 in December and he don't talk. And she's under a real load with him. But that's family. And I've been jumped on and I've just about been blackballed by some preachers because my wife don't go with me. She don't travel with me. She did till them boys came along. But you get a Down syndrome boy and an autistic boy, she needs help. So my wife's wearing herself out, taking care of family members. You say to me what you want to. But God has put that in her heart to do. Somebody said, "I wouldn't do it." You get close enough to the cross and you see what He's done for you, you'll do whatever you need to do that He tells you to do. Somebody said, "Well, see John." Simon Peter said in chapter 21, you remember when the Lord was dealing with Simon Peter and Jesus told Simon Peter to follow me, "You follow me?" You remember Simon Peter turned around and said, "Well, what's he going to do? What's John going to do?" If Simon Peter would have been by the cross, he wouldn't have to ask that question. See, you don't have to answer the questions when you've got your orders from an old rugged cross. You know what? John didn't say a word. Jesus took his defense. John didn't have to say, "Well, I'm going to be taken." No, Jesus said, "If he lives till I come, what's that to thee?" Simon Peter, you do what I told you to do. John will do what I told him to do. And he took care of the Lord's mother. Don't throw your family away. Don't throw your family away. Don't throw your family to the dogs. Kids, don't throw your parents away. Parents, don't throw your kids away. Jesus, keep me near the cross. I can learn, and I can get a whole lot of stuff by staying at the cross. Let's stand.